Hey guys.
Hi queens.
Welcome back to the pod. Also, now that I just said that, have you listened to the toast recently? She said that if you call it pod, that is like
loserish. I feel like a lot of people say pod.
But like, okay. Anyways, if any of you guys are toasters, then you might know what we're talking about. But welcome back to the podcast. What do they call it? The show?
Just podcast.
Oh, so just don't shorten.
Yeah.
Welcome to the pod. Oh, well. Anyways, welcome to the influence community. Welcome back. Hi, guys.
Happy Monday. Happy March.
Oh,
happy Pisces season.
Literally cannot believe it's March. I've been married for a month. Like, I cannot believe it's been a full month since we were
kind of crazy. Coast.
Like, what? Time is seriously flying by, and it's kind of scary, but I can't tell. Like, does time go faster as you get older, or does time just feel faster because COVID was literally so slow and that honestly, like, warped our concept of time, or is it something else? Like, I'm genuinely so curious. Like, do our parents think that time is like super fast?
I feel like it's personally when you have things to look forward to, and then like, I feel like time goes so fast, and then you hit it, and then you're looking forward to the next thing, and then it just feels like time is going super fast when you have nothing. Like, I feel like it goes slow.
Good point. So, like, yeah, when we have trips and stuff, we're like, on to the next thing. What's next? Okay.
Yes.
Anyways, just a couple updates for you guys. We went to the cutest FabFitFun event in LA last week, and it was at Sweet Laurel's Cottage. And if you've never heard of Sweet Laurel, so cool. I had never heard of it before. I've like seen the name, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I think same.
And it is the yummiest, tastiest, like gluten-free, dairy-free, refined, sugar-free. Mm-hmm. I think it's like paleo. Like, it's like, I don't know if you would consider that healthy, but if you have a lot of sensitivities or allergies, like, these desserts were so good. Like, so yummy.
Yes.
Ugh. Like, so insane.
We took home a bunch of them. Boxes and all of mine are of gone. Goodies. And I'm so sad. They were
like,
so
ate the good. Whole little cake. Like,
and they're local to LA, unfortunately, only. So,
yeah.
You can't even order them.
I think they have a bakery there in the Palisades. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the event was there and it was so freaking cute. I've seen a couple events there, but it was really cool to actually go, and like, the house was just beautiful. It was like such inspo for spring cottage vibes, and they had their own like chickens so in the back, and then they like use their own eggs for everything. Like, it was just like so cool. So that was a lot of fun, like, and I feel like I was a FabFitFun girly in college. We were talking about this at the event. Like, I truly was going broke over these boxes. Like, I would not cancel my subscription.
Was in debt, like, but was, still had enough
but
money
still getting my FabFitFun. So, yeah. And I feel like it was just kind of like a full circle moment to be at a FabFitFun event. So that was really cool. And it was so cute. And all the girls there were so, so sweet. So that was really fun. And the spring box has such good goodies inside of it. I'm obsessed. So I'm like, excited. Do I need to sign up for FabFitFun
again? Also, I'm so excited that in the FabFitFun box, there is the Lemmy sea moss gel, and I've just been dying to try sea moss. So I'm excited to try that.
Is this like the same sea moss that Erewhon
had? Yeah, I mean, it's like this, it's like a different form.
Okay.
So it's like sea moss is all the same, but Erewhon, like, I don't know why
makes
it's
it
so
thing.
Yes, like, it's the same thing as any sea moss. So, yeah, there's just so many good things in the box this quarter season.
Yeah.
I forget.
Yeah. I think they said like 4 or 6 boxes a year. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But
so good.
Yeah, it was so good. So love that box, and like, really this close to signing up for my membership again. But
I know.
Andrew's like, you do not need more. And I'm like, okay, fine.
No.
Okay, yeah. And then, so that was great. And then I feel like events are starting to pick up now. So definitely reach out to your favorite brands, like, connect with them, see what's going on, if they have any events or activations coming up, especially with Coachella and festival season in general upon us. I feel like it's kind of about to be the prep and start of all of it. Mm-hmm. So just kind of checking in, staying top of mind and seeing what's going on in terms of like gifting, events, partnerships, festival themes and all of that. I feel like brands are going to start activating and doing those themes. So I feel like there's a lot coming up. Obviously Coachella.
I feel like spring in general, like brands are just pushing.
Yeah. Spring, and then what's the one excited. You like? Oh, Lala.
Yeah. Lollapalooza is like not an influencer one though. I feel like that's just like I, there is not one single thing.
You know that. What though? I do think, I just feel like I have a prediction like this year they're going to do more because it's in Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of brands have started activating in Chicago. Like I've seen a lot more of like Chicago bloggers posting events and stuff. So I could definitely see more happening there. So
would love that.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like just kind of like start kind of gearing up, maybe researching, kind of maybe start creating your strategy and like reaching out to brands to start those conversations. Cause I feel like now that it is March, it is definitely prep season for all of that. And I feel like I've definitely started getting emails too in my inbox of just random spring events in general, non-festival related. And then also brands are starting to send out the dates for their like festival showrooms or their gifting suites and all that. So
yeah,
I feel like it's about to be full swing. And I feel like it was so nice because I feel like I pretty much took February off with like the wedding and everything and just trying to like relax once I was back. But now that it's March, I feel like I'm excited, like re-energized and ready to get back into the swing of things. So those are kind of our updates for this week and just things that are going on and things that we're noticing. What is your current influence of the week? What's influencing you?
Influence of the week. I feel like these are kind of random, but I've just been a highlight, I guess, love of that. My week.
Honestly, those are the best ones.
Yeah. Okay. One is like the Sleepy Girl mocktail. I don't know if you guys have seen that on TikTok. It's like all over my TikTok and Reels, but it's like, so you do, I do like a LaCroix and then you put tart cherry juice in it. And then you do a scoop of magnesium powder, which honestly I don't do that. I literally am just creating it for the vibes. Sleepy
part.
Yeah, I forgot. I like forgot about that part.
So I'm calling it Sleepy Girl Mocktail. But it's,
minus the sleepy.
Yeah, minus the sleepy.
This is a girl mocktail, honestly. Wait, that's actually really funny. But I am getting these. Okay, I just see so many videos. Wait,
do you not like magnesium?
No, I just don't have it.
Oh, okay. I feel like we have so many magnesium from the JS Health event that we went to. Wait. You should check your stock.
No, I do. You're so right. I completely forgot. Now I can actually add in the sleepy part. No, I've had such a great time making them. I had two tonight. It just enhances the nighttime routine, okay? That's why I make them. It's for the vibes. But like I always see videos of girls making them at night and I'm just like, I want to do that and it's fun. Funny. So
I feel like that. I'm already a sleepy girl in my regular life. Like I don't need help being like a more sleepy girl.
Sleepy girl mocktail minus the sleepy girl part. Yeah, love that. And then also, you guys, I'm shocked that I am saying this, but I saw Dune over the weekend and it was genuinely incredible. It blew my mind. It is so good. All the reviews,
okay,
I understand.
Everyone's talking about it. Like,
I know.
Like, everyone is literally saying it's good. It like, I don't think so I've good. Seen one person post about it not being good. And I feel like that's a lot coming from you because.
No, I know. Josh was genuinely shocked. I saw it with his family and they were shocked. There was one point in the movie where I was like shaking my leg, like just, you know, when you just like shake your leg, when you're like really like in focus of things and they were all like, look at Danielle because I was just so into it. Like, I don't know. And yeah, I don't know. I just think it was amazing. I feel like it's going to be the next, like, it's like going to be the new Star Wars. Like, and I just feel like we're going to be telling our kids we saw Dune in theaters one day because it's going to be iconic, but it was amazing. I freaking love Zendaya so much and Timothée Chalamet. They were incredible. So this is your sign to go see it, but you have to see Dune 1 or else I think you're going to be really confused. But you don't have to pay like super close attention. Just like understand the premise sort of
thing. Okay, that's what I need to do. So I need to watch the first one so I can watch the second one.
Yeah.
Because now I definitely want to see it. So.
Yes, you should.
Oh my God. Okay.
Okay. What about you? What's your influence of the week?
Okay, mine is, I feel like I post about this on my stories, but I'm currently entering my workout era and I'm really excited. We are seeing like a personal trainer once a week just because I want to incorporate weights. And I feel like when I go to the gym, I literally just like mess around and bounce between machines with not really a goal in mind or a plan. Like I just kind of like, oh, that machine's open, I'll go do that. Or like, oh, I like this machine. Like, but there's no strategy really there. So I really want to like have someone tell me what to do and then make me do it and then get stronger. So doing that. And then also I took a, I'm so late to the game on this, but I don't know why. Okay, I just think I had a lot going on, but yeah. I took a, my first reformer Pilates. It was just like a trial class. It was like a 35 minute class. And honestly, it was so good. So I'm so excited. I brought my husband with me because I was kind of too scared to go alone, and he ended up loving it. So we both signed up for memberships, and yeah, so we're gonna start doing that more too, and I'm excited as well.
So fun, because
I do love at home Pilates, like mat Pilates. And then I felt like the reformer honestly was just like fun. It's like fun to like swing around and like
it is really fun. Like I don't know. I think,
and then I'm excited to take my Pilates selfie in the mirror now every morning, like all the girlies are doing, and excited to go buy Pilates socks. And I'm trying to figure out like, what are the trendy cool girl socks? Is it like the cutie little ballerina ones with like the cross in the, on the top, or is it like the Nike-esque like those?
I do have both, but the ballerina ones I got like in a PR thing, so I didn't like actively buy those, but I feel like the cool girls
or, like, toe socks. Like sometimes they have toe socks.
No, okay, not to like offend anyone if you wear the toe socks, but like I was really embarrassed when I personally was wearing the toe socks, and then I never wore them again because no one in the class wore them, especially not the ones that show the toes. I used to wear those a lot. Like, okay, but I will say it depends on the studio you go to, because the first studio I went to, actually everyone wore those. And then I went to like more of like a cool girl-ish studio and literally no one wore those. Like only people were wearing those kind of like high ankle, like Nike-ish socks. So now that's all I have. But it's fun. Like they're cute. I love all the different colors and stuff.
Unfortunately, when we got to the trial, we had to buy a pair. So I just grabbed a pair really quick off their shelf. And it's like the Nike style ones, like, but they're black. And unfortunately, they have like rainbow speckles all over them. And I thought they were solid black.
Oh, you didn't realize? It's okay.
So, no, because I was in a rush. So I just kind of grabbed them really quick to like start the class. So
I have like I have really cute ones. I have ones with like daisies on it. Like there's some really cute ones out there. I love it.
Wait, where do you buy them? Like I looked on Aloe and they have like classic black ones, like the ballerina style ones. And then
the studio I went to had like the best selection, but they were all from the brand Lucky Honey.
Is that like a small brand?
I think so. But they have like, they have a ton of options and they have a website.
So okay, maybe I'll go look. I feel like my water bottle was really loud. Okay.
It's okay.
Okay, cool. But yeah, so I'm really excited. And I'm also excited to have kind of routine and something to force me to leave the house, because I feel like if we don't have an event or we don't shoot that week, like I truly don't leave my house. And I feel like it's kind of harming my mental health. And I literally talked about this with my therapist on Saturday. I was like, I just like kind of feel a little depressy and I don't know what's going on. And she's like, you need to leave your house. Like you need to socialize. You need to go do things. Like she said, she was like, even if you go on a walk on the beach by yourself, like that's still socializing because like people are around and like doing stuff. So I was like, okay. So I feel like having this routine is really going to help pull me out of the wedding blues and like get me back on track and just have a good schedule. So we're going to see our trainer on Mondays, which is great because that's admin days. So normally we don't have events or we're not doing really anything crazy on Mondays. And then trying to do Pilates at least 2 times a week besides that. So I feel like that'll be a good kind of starting point.
Yeah.
Because I feel like things are going to start to get busy anyway. So it'll be good to be able to kind of squeeze that in. But that is my current influence. And I'm excited for all, like, the workout outfits, the Pilates socks, and taking my cute little water bottle with me everywhere and my cute little bag and just like so romanticizing cute. The F out of all of it. So
that makes it so much more fun. I love honestly, that.
Honestly, wish I started this earlier, but it's fine. I'm trying not to dwell on that. So no. We're doing it now. And that's,
yeah, it's the right time now.
So yeah, that is my influence. Okay, so this week's episode, I feel like this is going to be a really, really good topic because I feel like literally everyone deals with this, but it's one of those things no one talks about. And it's just how to combat intrusive thoughts as a creator. And I feel like we all have them. We all think these things and we all go through it. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this can be super relatable and kind of, I guess, help you guys if you are going through it and how to deal with it and just kind of our insights and thoughts about it and how we deal with it too, because we definitely do. So I feel like the first one is probably the biggest thing, and it's hard not to do, but the first one is just comparing your content and insights to other people. I feel like it's truly just like our human nature to do this, unfortunately. Honestly,
I feel like it comes with the industry. You literally cannot avoid it because we are also consumers, right? And that's part of the job. So it's kind of like you're always looking, but you have to just, okay, I guess we can, like, okay, so this is pretty much not thinking your content's good enough, wondering why maybe someone else's content isn't performing the same as like something similar that you did, that sort of thing. But like, it comes with the territory, and like, you're gonna find your groove with this because you're gonna figure out, like, okay, you have to stay in your lane and you have to put your blinders on at some point. And it might take you a bit to get there, but I promise you, you will get there if you stick to it.
Well, and it's hard too, because yes, like, we're creatives, but at the end of the day, like, unfortunately, numbers do matter because it is a business. And so I feel like that's always sitting in the back of our head because we know that. True. Even though we also know, like, we're not supposed to focus on that. We're supposed to focus on the content we're creating and putting out. And honestly, it's like the algorithm is so unpredictable. I had a random call with a Meta person like a month or so ago. It was kind of interesting. And they said that they were going to send me an email every week for 6 weeks, and I never received anything else. What? So I don't know, but basically the way they described the algorithm, they used the word dynamic. Like, it's a dynamic algorithm and you can't really control it. So I don't, very interesting. And like, even they don't really know how the algorithm works. So it's just kind of out of our control, basically. So it's like, we can look at, you know, our insights and see what's performing well, or go on our explore page and see what's trending. But at the end of the day, it's like, even if you post something that is similar to someone else, like, yours just might not pop off like the other person's. And there's no really answer as to why, I guess.
Yeah. I just feel like everyone's audience is so different, and what people see you and categorize you in their minds is so different than what they categorize and see another creator as, almost. So just everyone is so different.
I mean, like, a good example of this is truly my like vacation Turks and Caicos content does not perform nearly as well as like my street style San Diego LA blazer sneaker outfit content. And it's so interesting to me because like, I'm like, oh my gosh, wow. Like, I love seeing other people's vacay content. I love creating vacay content, but truly when I post it, it just does not stick like my street style does. So it's just very interesting that my audience is so into kind of like the street style, everyday casual-esque looks, basically. So that's just something that I know. So I guess a good way to combat these things and kind of things that we do, like, I feel like if it gets really, really bad, like, definitely take the day off social media, give yourself that space to do that. And
yeah,
I feel like we both turn our likes off when we post, so it's not a number that's kind of sitting in front of our face all day.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like that really helps. It really helps, because I used to personally, like, when I didn't do this, it would dictate how my day went, honestly. And I would try to tell myself that it wouldn't, but just subconsciously it did. So this has really helped my mental health. Like what you said, kind of about also combating this by kind of like just knowing what your audience likes, and maybe you kind of have like that safety net. Like, it's like, okay, if I'm having a bad day with this content, like, I know what's going to perform well, and I know like what my audience knows me as, and you can always go back to that. But just kind of knowing like where your audience stands and like where, how they see you. But yeah.
It's definitely interesting, because I can't tell if it's like a good or bad thing, because I feel like I'm putting myself in a box. But it's like, I know, like, I post those things because I know they do well. So like you just said, like, if my engagement is lower than normal, I will post an outfit of me wearing my New Balance sneakers. And I just know it'll do well. Yeah. And it normally does. And if it doesn't, I feel like that's kind of like a one-off. But for the most part, those do well. And then I feel like that helps me get back on track and gives me kind of the confidence to continue posting other things again too. But sometimes it's like you need that one post as a confidence booster, and that's totally fine. So
yeah,
I feel like those are kind of things that we do to like combat that. And it's hard. Everyone does it. We all do it. I do it. Like, and I try so hard not to, because it's definitely not productive in any way, but it is our business. And at the end of the day, like, I just hate saying numbers matter, but they do. And like, that's just like the business aspect of it. So it's like, we have the business aspect and we have like the creative aspect, and we have to manage both of those things at the same time, which I think is the hardest part, because as the creative, you want to, you know, try new things and explore and try trends and, you know, express yourself in different ways. But then the business side is like, okay, like, do what performs well, what does best, get good numbers, get good engagement. So it's like finding that balance, which is hard.
Yes. But I feel like a good affirmation for yourself around this topic is, my self-worth is not determined by the numbers on social media or on the internet. Because while it may make you feel bad, because it is a business, it doesn't determine your self-worth. And you have to realize that you are so much bigger than that and better than that. And kind of just separate the two, honestly, because I feel like it's so easy in this industry to tie your self-worth in with your numbers. And if it's low, then your self-worth is low. And just separating the two is really hard, but really important to make it and have this be a sustainable career.
Yeah. And I think that ties into the next part too, which is imposter syndrome. So I feel like this is a very, very common theme in just intrusive thoughts that we get. And everyone's journey is so different. So it's like, sometimes you might blow up overnight and then be getting these like crazy, crazy opportunities. And you're just like, wait, what happened? Like, how am I getting invited to this? What is going on? Or it could just be like a dream brand that you've been wanting to work with for so long, and they finally reached out and you're like, oh my gosh, like, am I ready? All the other creators they work with are insane. They're so beautiful. They're so stunning. They're so perfect. Their skin is perfect. They're so skinny. Like, their outfits are so good. Like, all the crazy things that like go through your head when we get crazy opportunities or we're doing really cool things, because I just feel like imposter syndrome is so, so normal. But again, nobody talks about it. So it's like, you never know when people are going through that or feeling it, because people just don't put that out there. Again, social media is the highlight reel. Like, most people are just posting the good times pretty much, which again is fine. It's just like, you have to know that it is a highlight reel. But I feel like one big thing with imposter syndrome is with your rates. And this kind of like ties in with what we were just talking about is our numbers and everything. It's like, if say your engagement's not that great and you're kind of like on a low in the algorithm, and you just like don't feel worth your rates. And I feel like that's a very common theme, and it's so hard. But at the end of the day, it's like, again, you're providing value to brands. You're spending time to create content, like you're posting, you're engaging, like nothing is really changing. And then you never know when the algorithm is going to shift back up. So it's like, what if a brand reaches out to you and then you pitch them low rates because you are just not feeling that you're worthy of your standard rates because your engagement's low. And then the next week before you post the content, your engagement goes back up to normal or even higher. And then it's like, now you're posting and you gave those brands low rates because you weren't feeling great. You know what I mean?
Yes, like, I've definitely done this. I feel like a lot of people actually don't know like what best practice or like standard is in the industry with this. You don't lower your rates for low engagement just because you're having a low engagement. It is such a roller coaster. There's highs and lows, and you're gonna go back to normal eventually. So don't lower your rates and your services and your creativity because you're kind of just like harming yourself because you are letting those intrusive thoughts win. So keep your rates. I feel like everyone kind of struggles with this, with what they should be charging. I feel like management is a good place to kind of get a idea of what you should be charging and talking to other people in the industry who are kind of similar to you, I guess, seeing what they're charging. But this is a very common one.
Yeah, and I think too, even just being invited to events in general, like sometimes we'll go to events and we'll be like, what the heck, like not know anybody there and be like, why was I invited to this? Mm-hmm. Like, why am I here? This makes no sense. And just like not, again, not feeling worthy of being there or feeling out of place. And it's just so important to remember that you deserve a seat at the table. And again, common theme of just not feeling worthy enough on social media. Like, truly promise you, so many people feel this and you are not alone. I feel like sometimes as creators, we do feel alone in this industry because, you know, we're at home behind our computer screen doing admin work or whatever. And you're just like, if you're having a bad day, you're just like, man, like, my post isn't doing well today. It's so bad. It's like the algorithm's hiding it. No one's seeing it. And then you kind of just spiral. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, sometimes it could truly ruin your day, and it really shouldn't. Like that, something that small shouldn't do that. So it's like getting in the good headspace to be able to combat that. And just remembering like this is a business. So it's like, if you're not charging the amount that you deserve, someone else is. So it's like,
yes,
you don't want to lose out on that. So it's like, truly just remember, even as your engagement goes up and down, keep your rates the same. Truly, if brands mm-hmm. see your value, especially if you're creating high quality content that brands can repost or they're getting usage rates out of you, like, yes, posting and engaging and having a good engagement is important, but it's not everything. And I think sometimes we forget that.
Yeah. I've just, sometimes when I'm questioning what I'm charging or something, like I'll always think about like girls that I look up to in the industry and I'm like, do you think that they're thinking this and then like giving these brands these low rates? Like, no, they're not doing that. So like, I'm not going to do that. And I don't know, little perspective shift, but an affirmation for this that I like, that I love, that is from our dear therapist, is I am worthy regardless of anything that's happening on your social media or with your analytics or your insights or anything like that. You are still worthy and you deserve the rates you're charging. You deserve the events. You deserve your place on social media.
I feel like this is such a good one too. So it's like, if you're having a bad day or you're just not feeling this, even just repeating this to yourself or writing it down a couple times, mm-hmm. I feel like that will really help shift your perspective and your mindset. Cause like you just said, like, I'm sure larger creators or creators that you look up to, they also have these feelings, but it's like when we're looking up to them and we're like, okay, would they lower their rates? Like, no. So like, mm-hmm. that should be you as well, because someone is also looking up to you being like, she does not lower her rates, so I'm not lowering mine. You know what I mean? So it's like this trickle down effect. So it's like, really just, and then I feel like that just helps the overall value of the creator industry as well too. But it definitely can be hard. Like, mm-hmm. it is so real. And I feel like, no one talks about this. So you are not alone out there. If you are feeling this, like, we all truly go through it. And I feel like this is honestly the hardest part of the industry, are like these things.
Yeah. That yeah. People don't I feel about. Like I always going back to that, like, oh, would she lower her rates? No. It's all about like matching your frequency and raising your vibration and matching that higher vibration. Yes. And whenever you feel low or like questioning it, I always think about like how I want to reach that higher vibration and frequency to be in alignment with more opportunities, more abundance, mm-hmm. more whatever it is.
Or like the opportunities that you're trying to attract. Yes. Like that's the energy you have to be putting out. We were just talking about this in terms of like just like friendships or relationships or people. Like if you're putting out a certain energy, you're probably going to be receiving something like that mm-hmm. back. So like I feel like it goes with this as well. It's like, okay, I want to be elevating my content. I want to be getting these kind of rates with these kind of brand deals with these brands. Yes. Like that is like the energy you need to put out. And I feel like once you start to do that, that's what you start to attract. And that's like what's important. And I feel like that's such a good reminder too, because truly you're in control of that. No one else mm-hmm. can do that for you.
Yes. So not even your analytics or whatever it is that you're feeling imposter syndrome with on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good. And then again, that relates to the next one, which is fear of rejection.
I feel like this is one of the biggest.
Another big, big, big one, especially when you're just starting out or you're starting to pitch yourself or putting yourself out there with your content, reaching out to brands. Like it is so scary. And even in just any aspect of life, when you're doing something for the first time, AKA me literally going to Pilates class, like making my husband come with me because I'm too scared to go. Like once you put yourself out there and you take that first step, like that's the biggest thing and like the best thing you can do for yourself. But there's obviously that fear of rejection sitting in the back of your head, which is so hard to overcome. But truly,
did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop, voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice top laptop brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Just like practicing, and honestly, the more practice you do it and the more rejection you get, the more used to it you get, that it becomes like you become like unfazed. You're just like,
it's truly
okay. Must not have been the right opportunity for me anyway. Next. Thank you. Next.
It's literally exposure therapy. Like that is what it is. That's how you get over fear of rejection. I think there's a book on this, but I've seen so many TikToks about like exposure therapy where you're literally training yourself to not care what other people think. Have you seen those TikToks? I think we've talked about them before, maybe.
I feel like we've talked about it, but I don't know if I've seen it on TikTok. I used to be in sales, and like a lot of like sales training is like doing that to yourself. Like we went to a sales training and we did this demo in Vegas. And while we had some downtime between two clients that we were showing product to, our manager, I guess is what you would call them, like challenged us to go up to random strangers in Vegas and just ask random questions. So funny. And like, obviously the scary part is doing it. But at the end of the day, it's like, you don't know this person. You're never going to see them again. And like, it's just a question and it's like silly. So it was like, but it was like such a good exercise. And I feel like there's another one where it's like a really popular story where like a dad like made his son go ask 10 girls for their numbers. And like,
that's really cute.
Just like a soup, not like in a creepy way, like he was like younger, but like just like get him used to like being rejected. And like he did get, I don't know what like the story was, I don't remember, but like he did get rejected obviously like most of the time, but then the one time that you get it, you feel so good because it's like you've worked so hard for it. But then you also, you're like, okay, like they said no. So especially with brands, it's like, okay, if the brand says no, that's maybe just kind of like a not right now kind of vibe, because I feel like brands will never tell you no directly, but they'll be like, oh, our current campaign is full. Or, oh, we're really focusing like on this kind of creator right now, like whatever it is. And I feel like brands just run so many different campaigns. So it's like, you never know like when the time is right. or what they're really casting for, right, or now. And it's just like, yeah, like if that opportunity wasn't meant for you, then great, close that door and another one is going to open. And not having that kind of desperate energy, but more just having the mindset of like, okay, like I honestly, I feel like in my head, I don't even call it rejection anymore. Like I truly just like don't, I'm just like, okay, not right now.
Yeah. And also you guys, like there has been so many brands that have told us like a not right now sort of vibe that have absolutely come back with paid campaigns, and we've worked with them in bigger capacities, but it's just the life cycle of this industry. And also no brand is going to tell you no, because they never know where you're going to be like in a few years. And if you ever tell someone just straight up no, that would be such a bad look on a brand. So yeah, they're never just going to straight up tell you no. It will just be like a not right now. But yeah, you build really thick skin in this industry, and it truly just takes so much practice of putting yourself out there and exposure therapy, because you just like will stop caring altogether of like how people are perceiving you, hopefully. But
I feel like it's just over time, and I honestly, I'm like trying to think, and I'm like, I truly am in the mindset of not right now. Like because I'm like, if a brand says no, or they don't say no, but like if a brand politely declines at the moment, I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like we'll reach out again in like a month or two and see what's going on, or like for this upcoming event or like this themed campaign, whatever it is. Like there's always so many opportunities. And like you said, I feel like it's kind of mutual, like how we say to be super respectful of PR reps, because it's like you never know where they're going to end up because they move around a lot. They could end up at your dream brand. I feel like it goes both ways. Like, yeah, like they never know like where a creator is going to go, where they're going to end up. Like, I just feel like, I'm sure there are brands that Alex Earle wanted to work with, and they probably told her no. And like now she is where she is, and they're probably like, dang, like we really told her no. Like that sucks. You know what I mean? So it does go both ways. So it's like, I don't know. Like it's, I feel like we've just had a lot of practice. I mean, we've been doing this truly since 2018, 19. So it's like, once you get rejected a lot, it's, you just become kind of unfazed, and it wasn't a good time or the alignment wasn't right. And you just kind of see it as that. And truly, I swear, I feel like a better opportunity always comes along. Like it really does. So
always.
And just like having an open mindset.
Yeah. And your favorite quote, you don't get what you don't ask for. So you have to put yourself out there, and you never know. You'd honestly be surprised.
Definitely. So again, fear of rejection, I feel like everybody has it. It's definitely a big part of being in the industry. It's a big part of any kind of sales cycle. And if you think about it, as creators, we're constantly selling ourselves, selling our content, etc. So it's truly everybody, I feel like, has this in their daily life. And the more you practice and the more you put yourself out there, the easier it becomes. It's easier to deal with. You just kind of get used to it. And then you become, I feel like, less intimidated or afraid to reach out to brands in general. Because you're like, okay, like, so what if they say no? You know, on to the next, like, next one. Like, finding things that truly align. So, yeah, I feel like this is kind of like the barrier to entry for social media. It's like those who can make it past this part can truly be successful in it. And sometimes this is what kind of knocks people down, where they feel like they can't get up, like they cannot overcome the fear of rejection. And then it's maybe just not the best place for them to be in social media. But I feel like this is kind of one of those things that really is like make it or break it. Like, can you be successful? Can you push through this? Can you rise above it? And I truly feel like if anyone wanted to, they could, but sometimes it's just not for everyone, which is totally fine. Like we all have different personalities. We all handle things differently. But I feel like if you feel like the fear of rejection is holding you back, like just know that you can overcome it. You can do it. Like if this is truly something you're passionate about and an industry that you want to be in, like you have to push through this. Like we all have, and we've all done it. We've all felt like crap when it first happens, and you kind of want to sit there and cry because you worked so hard on this pitch email. You did so much research. You like put together a deck, like you put your everything into it, and then the brand said no. Like, we've been there. We've experienced that.
Yes.
And it sucks for sure. But again, it's part of the industry. It's part of growth. It's part of, honestly, I feel like it's really great for growth as a person too, because then True. These kind of things in life won't affect you as much. And I feel like that's kind of a good mindset to be in. So
yeah, agree.
Don't let fear of rejection get you down.
Yeah. And I feel like it's like with so many things, like I feel like it can be pitching and like events and like whatever, but it could also be like trying a new creative concept on your social media and then being scared no one's gonna like it. Cause I've definitely had those thoughts multiple times. But you just have to put yourself out and try and see what works. You're kind of just like doing research. Like that's how I think of it. Like I'm just gathering my research and seeing what sticks and what doesn't. And the things that don't, it's not meant to be. And it's just, trust me, like no one's going to remember it. Like literally no one. And it's going to be okay. It's redirection. Wait, what do they say? Rejection is just redirection. And I just, I love that. Yeah.
That's a good one. Rejection is redirection.
It like, always. Write that down. It's so good. Yeah. I love that quote. It's always directing you where you're supposed to be.
Yeah. I agree. That's like a good way to think of it. Mm-hmm. So just like, I feel like that's a really good mantra to say. Like if you're feeling really down about rejection or even just the fear of rejection, so you're not even doing something because you feel so paralyzed of like fear to even do it.
Yeah.
Like just repeat that. And I feel like that will really help you kind of overcome it. So I feel like, again, these honestly all relate to each other, and I feel like they all tie into each other so well.
They
so
it's really
like when
do.
You're practicing one, you're kind of helping with another. But the next one is events, and I feel like this also kind of ties into fear of rejection. But sometimes you might get invited to events, like we said earlier, and you are like, why am I here? I don't know anybody. Like all these creators are huge. These TikTokers are huge. Like these beauty girls are perfect. Their skin is perfect. Their makeup is perfect. Like why am I here? And I feel like obviously you deserve to be there if you were invited. Someone invited you for a reason. They're not just handing out invites. So I feel like that's kind of the first thing to remember is you're there for a reason.
Yeah. Clearly the brand sees value in you and what the content you are creating. And also I feel like same thing goes with if you see so many people going to an event that you weren't invited to, maybe it's not your time now, but it will be in the future. Like that's how I always think about it, is it wasn't my time now, but it could be in the future.
And I feel like too with that, you can kind of be strategic with it as well. So it's like if you see an event that happened with a brand that you have a relationship with but you didn't get invited, you can always reach out after the fact and be like, hey, I saw you guys through this event. It looked so amazing. I would love to be, you know, considered on the invite list for the next one. Like, I don't know, please let me know your thoughts, or like if there's anything I can do
and
to
they'll
help
probably
with this.
Like add you, like, just like no problem.
Yeah, like I just feel like there are so many creators at this point. Like sometimes it's like if you don't stay top of mind or you're not in connection with them as much, like maybe they just like pull creators from like a random list they have. Like you never truly know where these things are coming from. Like sometimes if I have a good relationship with the brand or I'm feeling ballsy, I will ask the contact how they found me, because I'm always so curious. And so yeah, you just never know. And it's always so interesting when they tell you, because you're like, oh, wow. Like, I remember back in the day. And I really wanted to work with Nasty Gal on gifting. And I would, like, buy the stuff. I would tag it. And then one random day I got invited to a Nasty Gal event. I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I was like, no way. And I was so freaking excited.
Love
that. I went and I showed up. I didn't know anybody there. I recognized some, like, bigger creators. But also, this is, like, a little hot tip. Like, I feel like sometimes bigger creators also have anxiety and are really shy and like don't talk to a lot of people at events. So also don't take that personally, because I feel like that's definitely happened before. But I asked the girl, the contact, I said, so how did you find my account? Like, I'm so curious. And she said that she had found me just through their tagged posts. So they would like look to see who was organically tagging them and like wearing them. And I was like, oh my gosh. And that just like felt so good. Cause I was like, wow, like that really paid off. So
yeah,
I feel like you never know how brands are finding you. And it's just like putting yourself out there again and not having that fear of being rejected and just kind of doing it. And then I feel like too, if you see a brand throw an event and you don't have a relationship with them, you could like write that brand name down somewhere, like have a list, and then start organically posting and tagging them if you truly love them and you want to be invited. That way that kind of, I feel like, starts to create the relationship. That way when you do go to pitch yourself, or maybe the brand will notice, but you can be like, hey, like would love to like, who's the best person to reach out to regarding like PR? Like, here are some recent posts I've done for the brand. Like, my audience really loves it. Like, would love to share the product more or attend any events that you guys have coming up to support the brand. Like, let me know. Whatever the case is, I feel like there are definitely ways to go about it. So it's like, you don't want to just kind of sit there and like pout.
If it comes to you, yeah.
Yeah, like just expect it to fall on your lap, or just maybe have this kind of victim mentality of just like, why not me? Like, how come I'm not there? Why didn't I get invited? And instead, like, have a proactive mindset and be like, okay, wow, like, I know this brand throws events. I have a relationship with a contact. I can reach out and kind of re-put my name out there. Or I don't have a relationship, so I'm going to start organically posting and tagging, even if it's just stories, like whatever, the brands can see the tags. Then you can kind of start to create the relationship there. So it's like, putting yourself out there,
yeah,
never hurts.
Yeah. And also, like, you'd be so surprised at, I don't know, there's so many events we go to, and I feel like being in that industry for so long, like, we are very familiar with a lot of the girls that are kind of in the industry, but we'll go to these events and like sometimes we'll literally not recognize or know a single girl in the room. And it just, the event lists are so different every single time, and you never know when it could be your turn, you know? Mm-hmm. So don't lose complete hope if you are not getting invited to certain events and you're just feeling really discouraged about it, because I feel like that's a really common one.
Random thing I just thought about, normally half the people there are plus ones, and you never know who the plus one is and who's the invitee one. Like, you never know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you never know truly, like, oh, how did she get there? Like, you never know if she's the plus one. Yeah. Which, there's nothing wrong with being a plus one. But in terms of just like perspective and like comparing yourself, it's like always just a good reminder that it's like not as like a brand is not intentionally trying to hurt your feelings by not inviting you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, just like try to be strategic about it and really put yourself out there and not having the fear of rejection, and just try to like organically build a relationship with the brand. Like, I feel like, oh, I feel like this literally just happened at the FabFitFun event, you guys. I have been wanting to buy the Dibs beauty stick for like so long. Yeah. Like, it's in my shopping cart. Like, I just didn't check out because I was like trying to find a coupon or something, and then I got distracted and then I was like not on my phone, you know. And I add things to cart and I let them sit there for a little bit while I think about it and like make sure it's a good decision. And so we go to the FabFitFun event, and the thing that I was gonna buy was in the box, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm so excited. Like, I have been wanting this Dibs beauty stick like so bad. I've wanted to try it for so long, and I literally was about to buy it. Like, I'm so freaking excited that this is in the box. And I was like saying this out loud to Danielle, and it was honestly kind of obnoxious. I was like so excited. And
it paid off. This
random girl comes up to me and goes, oh my gosh, like that's so awesome, like we'll send you some goodies. And I was like, okay. And I genuinely thought it was like FabFitFun. Like, that was someone who worked at FabFitFun. And it turned out to be like the director of influencers of Dibs Beauty.
So funny.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like, because I literally was just like talking about a product that I really wanted to try and like really liked, like just like put it out there, and like the universe literally was like, here you go.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you weren't,
so it's like, you never know,
to just put it out there. Yeah, yeah, you just, yeah, you never know.
I was just literally talking to Danielle about it. Like, I wasn't like, yeah, I don't even know. It was like so random. So yeah, I was just really excited. So it's like, yeah, you never know. Put yourself out there. And it's like, just remember, like, you deserve a seat at the table.
Yes, so. Best affirmation.
And, oh, this is good too. Like, if you're ever at an event alone, like, always challenge yourself to say hi to at least one person. You never know who you're going to connect with. And I feel like this is what makes events worth it, especially mm-hmm. if the event itself is, like, not the best, not the greatest. Like, it's okay. It doesn't have, like, not every event has to be the best event ever that you go to. But I feel like you can make it worthwhile by just networking, introducing yeah. yourself, like, connecting. I went to this other event by myself because I don't think you could go, and it was just like a workout event, and I didn't know anybody, and this really nice girl came up to me and said hi, and she was like so sweet, and she ended up like working at Instagram. So I was like,
yeah, wow, that's so cool. Funny
that just made the event so worth it. Like, hi. So it's like you never truly know who you're gonna connect with. Like, it's so yeah. crazy. So just kind of put it into perspective, like, okay, I like almost didn't go to this event because I didn't want to go alone, but so glad I did. And then I met this really cool person. So that's kind of like my motivation for events.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's like you really never know what's going to happen if you don't go or if you don't try.
And then the last one that we have, I feel like is super relatable. Okay, feeling stupid while talking to the camera.
Like
so true.
Like, hello. Feeling dumb when you're creating content yeah. or whatever. I feel like I see so many TikToks of girls saying, like, girls, just post your drafts. Like, you don't sound stupid. You don't look stupid. Like, also, no one cares. And it's so true. Like, I feel like every girl has had at one point in their life, like, something that they filmed, created, and they just couldn't get themselves
still
to post.
I have drafts that I'm yes, like, I same. Cannot post these yet. And I stare at them and I go in to like do it and edit it. And then I'm like, no, not today. And then like it goes back in the draft.
Yes. And it's like, I swear to God, every single thing that I have almost not posted, that is what has gone viral. And it's just so freaking funny because it's like the things that like you might think are cringy or weird or kind of like out there, I don't know, other people might look at and be like, oh my God, like that is so cool. Or like they get so much inspo from that. Like, I just feel like a lot of that is just the voice inside your head, like saying, it's like your limiting beliefs of yourself. And it's just not everyone sees you in that way. And I just feel like you could be missing out on opportunities by not posting your stuff, by feeling quote unquote stupid when you talk to the camera or something like that. Like, trust me, everyone really just cares about themselves and like they are not looking at you that hard.
Yeah. And it's like we're obviously our own worst critics. And mm-hmm. so we're just sitting on, you know, the side of the phone and being over analyzing or overthinking about this content. And it's really not that serious. And again, like if someone sees your video and they think it's cringy, like so what?
Like they'll move on. There's so many cringy videos on the internet. Like, I trust know. Me, yours is not the cringiest.
Exactly. And then it's like, okay, if they leave like a mean comment, again, like so what? I feel like engagement is engagement. And like,
yes, honestly, the hate is the best engagement because then people will attack them. They'll get into a fight. Like it's going to create a whole thread. Like that's the best engagement. So like, honestly, politely thank them and move on. Thank you for your engagement.
Yeah. And I think too, it's like everybody literally feels silly at first. Even when Instagram stories came out, you guys, like we were on Instagram before stories existed and they first came out and it was so, I don't even know if it was like cringy or if it was just scary or whatever story I was telling myself in my head, but like talking mm-hmm. stories were so hard to do. Like not very many people did them. And like some yeah. girls would do them and I would be like, oh my gosh, they're but so they were good like at the, talking to their the stories. Big girls. Like, how yeah. do they do that? Like, you know, like so funny to think about now.
I know.
But it was like, definitely a thing.
Yeah. I feel like it's kind of still a thing sometimes because it's just like there are girls who are really good at putting themselves out there and you might look at them and be like, wow, I can't believe they can just like talk to the camera for that long and feel so comfortable. But most of the time, like it's really just faking it till you make it and telling yourself that you're going to be a confident person today, even if you don't feel that way. And I don't know. I just feel like people can.
I love that trend where it's like posting to my audience, like I have a million followers, but like really only have like 500 yeah. or something.
That's whatever the mindset. That is.
I feel like that's so cute. Like you just have to like really Delulu. exude that confidence, put it out there. And then I feel like that attracts people because then again, they're like, oh my gosh, wow.
Yes.
Like, she's so good at what she's doing. Like, she's so confident. I want to be like that. Like, really just putting yourself out there and just doing the thing, whatever that is. But yeah. And again, it's something that takes practice and it's not something that just happens overnight. So it's like, even if you practice your stories and then you don't like them and delete them, like, fine, whatever. But like, keep practicing or just post the dang TikTok. Like, who cares? If it doesn't do well, then just delete it. Like, it's good practice. And at the end of the day, it's not that serious. And everyone is, again, focused on themselves, trying to find their own way. Like, no one is really that concerned or like thinking that your video, like, oh, she's talking to the camera so cringy. I can't believe she's saying that. I can't believe like no one is saying that. Like,
yeah. And if they do, it's literally for 1 second and then they move on and like do not, they, no one's just like dwelling on like, oh my God, like I still can't believe like how,
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And if I also they think are, that's genuinely a reflection of them.
I know. I think like, it like low-key comes from like their admiration of you, of you and their putting insecurity yourselves out there. Yes.
And their insecurities because they can't.
That's 100%
what it is. So that's how you have to look at it. Like, that's the situation.
Yes. Yeah. Another way to like slowly move toward that goal of just being able to put yourself out there. Like, maybe it's talking to the camera. Maybe it's creating a certain type of content. Just feel like setting small goals for yourself with your content, taking it one step at a time. For example, like you could put up a story and like maybe you say a few words, like nothing crazy, a few words. You can, I remember my biggest fear was like talking and then I thought people wouldn't like my voice and then they wouldn't like me anymore. That was the story and narrative I told myself when I started like talking on social media. And then, oh my God. And then I look back at my like old videos talking and I don't know what voice I was using, but it was not my normal voice. Like, it was like two octaves higher.
Customer service voice.
Yeah, like some, it was like a mixture of that with like some persona of like an, I don't know what it was, but like,
but that's
it was
okay.
A time. It was, it it's was okay. Me. But you know what? Like, we're not judging that
look,
because
look
that
where
was
where you are now.
Yeah. Like, and that was the small goals I was setting for myself to get to the bigger picture of like being able to comfortably post on social media, talk on my TikTok videos or stories or whatever it is. And honestly, like looking back at that cringy time, I'm also really proud of that because that took a lot of guts for me to put myself out there, even if it was such a small thing. So,
and just it's part goals. Of your journey. Like, yeah. It's part of the growth. It's part of the progression. And you can see, like, what would be the point if we never grow or if we never get better, if we never learn from anything we do in the past? You know what I mean? So I feel like that's so inspiring.
Yeah. Like, we all so start from somewhere, you guys. Set little goals.
And the funny thing is, too, like, you probably thought that about your videos. But, like, I've never thought that about any video that I've ever seen you post, which is, like, so crazy that, like, we think that about ourselves.
I know.
And
then, it's,
you know what I mean? Yes. And then we critique ourselves, and then it that's what kind of holds us back. Again, fear of rejection or just fear of looking stupid. And then we're literally getting in the way of our own selves, and we're holding ourselves back. Like, no one else is doing that but us. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, so interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I know. Sometimes, like, when I think something is super cringy or, like, ugh, I don't know how I feel about that, I challenge myself to just keep it up for a full day and see how it goes. And if I really don't feel good about it, like, in the next 24 hours, like, 24 hours later, I'll, like, or even 48 hours. Like, sometimes
like,
I'm like,
sit
okay,
on
I need
it
to,
a little bit.
I need to sit on this. Usually, like, 90% of the time, I am glad I didn't do anything with it and I kept it up and like it was fine. But, and then other times you can literally just delete or archive it and no one's going to remember it. So it's just not that big of a deal. It's never that serious. You can always take it down.
Yeah. And I just think in general with this industry, like, or anything you're new to, the first time you do something or as you're getting used to it or you're learning, you do feel silly. And that's just a part of it. Again, you're not alone in that. Like, everybody has gone through that. Everyone has felt that. And again, if you see someone and you're like, oh my gosh, like, they're so good at that, or like, I love that, like, they've definitely been practicing too. It's not like they just like randomly like started doing that and they were perfect. So I think that's just such a good reminder when we're trying something new or like talking to the camera or whatever. Because like, again, when you talk to the camera, I feel like that's a really good way to show your personality so your audience can connect with you. And it's so funny because I feel like we used to talk to the camera so much more, but we don't as much anymore. But I feel like for me, I don't as much anymore because videos just like don't do as well on stories as like pictures. So that's kind of why for me. But I definitely try to talk more on TikTok. And then I feel like... I feel like on TikTok, like my thought process, like I'll film something and I'm like too talky or like talk too much or I said too much or like I dragged this on too long. Like I want it to be more like short and concise. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, some creators are so good at like storytelling, but getting to the point and it being like informative, but also like fun to listen to. And then I don't post it because I'm like, this is just not good. But then it like sits in the drafts and then I'm like, then I run out of storage and I'm like, shoot, I got to do something with these drafts. So like they either need to get posted or they need to get deleted, but we got to go one or the other. And then I feel like that's truly what forces me to make that decision. So
yeah.
It's true. We all experience that even currently, like it's very normal. So
sometimes with that, by the way, it takes me like a good few tries to like talk on my stories, talk on my TikTok to get to the point. Like it'll take me like 5 times minimum to like actually get it to where I'm getting to the point. Or honestly, that can be a hard thing, but it comes with practice.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like we're all just out here kind of navigating, trying to figure it out, trying to make it work, trying not to get rejected.
Even if you think fear hold us back, girl isn't, she is.
Yeah. And like, again, like just comparing ourselves, imposter syndrome, fear of rejection, not feeling like we deserve to be at certain events, or just feeling silly talking to the camera, feeling silly posting content, feeling silly filming in public, literally whatever it is, like you're not alone. This is all normal. But I think it's how you handle it, how you approach it, and how you kind of decide to move through it is what will set you up to be successful as a creator. And I feel like if you have it in you, then you can definitely make it work and kind of push through all the intrusiveness in your thoughts and stop it. So hopefully this inspired or helped at least one person. You know, that's all we want. We just want to help.
Yes.
Share.
I know.
What we've kind of experienced and what we've learned throughout the years in the industry. So we just love you guys and we want the best for you and we want to see you guys all be successful. So do you want to share our listener of the week this week to close out this episode?
Yes, our listener of the week is Courtney. Her Instagram handle is at Courtney Michelle, CourtneyMichelle. We met her in real life at the FabFitFun event. She is so sweet and we had no idea that she actually works for FabFitFun too, which is really cool. She's also just the sweetest girl. I've been following her for a while. And if you guys love the girly modern romance sort of vibes, you will love her profile. It's also just really good for spring. And she's so sweet. We just loved meeting her, honestly.
We love a supportive queen.
Yes.
Too. Like,
oh yes. So she nice. Told us that she listens to the podcast while she's at work. So shout out to you, Courtney. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you and we loved meeting you.
Yes. It's always so fun meeting you guys in real life, at events, through brands, like whatever it is. It just like feels so full circle and just makes my heart so happy and excited and I don't know, like it's just like that warm fuzzy feeling. So
yeah
we loved meeting Courtney, so especially because it was just a stunning event too. So
yeah,
that was great. Well, thank you guys for listening. We love you guys so much. Hope you have an amazing week, an amazing start to March, and kind of start planning for all the fun spring and festival things coming up. And we will chat in the next episode and talk later. Bye guys.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review and we'll see you next week.
Bye.